want to crack a beer and watch the highlights from the Islanders game. Did you see that save by Ryan Pulock? Hey, where are you going with my vase? And then, at the end of the interview, Bartiromo, one of the most unhinged conspiracy theorists on Fox, applauded herself for telling the truth.
We have been telling every story. We've been on the right side of it for 7 years going. I've been trashed every day along the way. Keep trashing me. I'll keep telling the truth.
That sounds like a catchphrase from the opening credits of The Real Housewives of Bay Ridge. Keep trashing me. I'll keep telling the truth. Andy, stop hitting your brother with the pool skimmer. Andy, put that down right now. I'm going to call your father. What's that? Oh, you run on because it's just a pool skimmer? No, he's getting cute with me. Andy, Michael Piazza D'Angelo, put it down right now or I will end you. These people have been desperately cycling through one deranged conspiracy theory after another in an attempt to lie about what really happened on January 6th. Some tried to claim it was largely a peaceful protest, no worse than a normal tourist visit, while others suggested that it was actually the FBI and the deep state that secretly orchestrated the whole thing as a false flag operation. And then there were those who blamed so-called fake Trump supporters or Antifa, despite the pro-Trump rioters themselves going online and contradicting that lie.
The people who stormed the Capitol had to convince their own brethren on social media they weren't Antifa, like Ryan Nichols, a Marine veteran charged in the attack who wrote on Facebook, "Hey, listen up. I hear so many reports of Antifa was storming the Capitol building. Know that every single person who believes that narrative have been duped again."
You know what's bad? When even the insurrectionists are fact-checking Republicans, soon anti-vaxxers are going to start tweeting stuff like, "Listen up, vaccines are safe and effective. I just need attention, and I don't know how to get it legitimately." They can't even get the people they're lying about to go along with the lie. It would be like if O.J. got up in court and said, "Those gloves fit just fine. I was making my hands big on purpose." And then Judge Ito looks to camera and says, "Juice!" I feel like that's what you do. I was younger then. In reality, of course, the insurrection was an attempt to stop the lawful counting of electoral votes and overturn the results to keep Trump in power. In fact, a large faction of GOP officials and voters are still very much committed to the big lie that fueled the riot in the first place. A new poll out today finds that 32% of registered voters believe the lie that Joe Biden won the 2020 election because of voter fraud, including 57% of Republicans. And last week, former Vice President Mike Pence was heckled and called a traitor at the Conservative Faith and Freedom Coalition because he didn't single-handedly overturn the results of the election, which he didn't have the power to do anyway.
Pence is the one seen on surveillance video being rushed to safety by the Secret Service on January 6th. Remember, rioters could be heard chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." Trump had accused him of being disloyal for following the Constitution and refusing to overturn the election results. Well, today, Pence spoke to religious conservatives at the Faith and Freedom Coalition conference. And as he tried to speak, boos and cries of "traitor" rained down from the crowd.
It is great to be back with so many patriots. And I want to thank my friend Ralph Reed for those overly generous words. I'm deeply humbled by them. Ralph Reed knows me well enough to know the introduction I prefer is a little bit shorter. I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order.
Man, that's like getting booed thrown out of first pitch at a baseball game in your home state, which also happened to Mike Pence. Booing is one thing, but they're calling Pence a traitor, and he tries to just keep giving his speech and act like it's not happening. Pence could really use a Smithers right about now. They're not saying traitor, they're saying tra-yay-tor. Also, it's a gathering of religious conservatives called the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Pence should be able to walk into that place like Norm walking into Cheers. "Mike! What's shaking, Mr. Pence?" "The knees of the faithless, Woody." If Pence should be popular anywhere, it's there. And yet he's still getting booed. That's like the Kardashians getting booed on E!
Did you get Kendall a present?
I did.
What'd you get?
Something for her lake house.
Oh, nice.
As Mike Pence has now discovered, the core organizing principle of the GOP right now is its fundamental hostility to democracy. And the movement's central belief is the big lie that the 2020 election was stolen. More than half of Republicans said in a recent poll that they still believe election reviews will change the outcome, like the sham audit in Arizona, where Republicans have been hunting for, among other things, bamboo fibers to prove that ballots were smuggled in from China, and secret watermarks left by Trump that separate the real ballots from the fake ones. They think Trump watermarked ballots, when in reality, the only thing he's ever watermarked is a desk. I guarantee Trump has never used a coaster in his life, even though coaster was probably his nickname in high school. Hey, coaster, is it true you had someone else take your SATs? All that matters is I got into peen. Do you mean pen? Cicada, cicada. In fact, the Arizona audit has gotten so far off the rails that copies of voting data have been taken to a mysterious location somewhere in rural Montana, all in the name of election integrity. CNN even tried to find the location and sent a reporter to the woods to look for it.
On this piece of property in a remote part of Montana, people may at this very minute be analyzing voting data from the state of Arizona as part of the so-called Arizona audit run by the Cyber Ninjas, a company whose CEO had previously espoused Trump-style election conspiracy theories. What does Montana have to do with all this? Ken Bennett is a spokesman for the audit.
Everything that Cyber Ninjas is doing, they're either doing with their own expertise or the expertise of the people that they're hired.
Cool. Well, thanks to Republican conspiracy theories, we have CNN reporters running around in the woods like they're auditioning for Finding Bigfoot. Also, you trust a company that calls itself Cyber Ninjas to hire people with expertise? It sounds like a game for Super Nintendo you'd find at the bottom of the bargain bin at GameStop in 1994, or Steven Seagal ripoff of RoboCop. You're too late, copper. We already got the jewels from the safe. I'm not a cop. I'm a cyber ninja. Digital nunchucks activate. What do you mean I can't get on the plane? Am I supposed to walk to my dojo? But the story keeps getting weirder. Even the spokesman for the Arizona audit apparently has no idea where the cyber ninjas have taken the voting data.
And a contractor it hired is called Cypher LLC. Bennett says Cypher was permitted to take copies of Arizona voting system data on a truck and have it driven to Montana, where it's being, quote, forensically evaluated in what he described as a secure, powerful laboratory. But nobody is publicly saying what that actually means. And Bennett tells us he doesn't know where the so-called lab is. It is apparently a secret.
Wait, so we're supposed to believe there's a secret, powerful laboratory in rural Montana where experts are doing forensic analysis on ballots. And look, I love Montana, but I'm having trouble believing there's some secret, powerful laboratory where they're doing forensic analysis hidden in the middle of nowhere unless it was built by Tony Stark. And if that were true, then the only person who'd been able to find it would be Loki. But wait, it's just like Loki to use a sham audit as an excuse to alter the sacred timeline. Oh my God, is this a Nexus event? Have the timekeepers lost control of the variant? Oh, God! Does this mean there won't be a Wedding Crashers sequel?
Turn on. Turn on. You got out.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Thank you. Mother once lying to him, he broke that bolt. Van Zandt song.
I'm sitting here wondering if this matchbox will hold my dreams. The redhead in my arms go up in flames. Will dissolve mighty regimes with her screams. Or so it seems. She dragged my face from the eye to my lip on the rough side of the striking strip. To the port side of a sinking ship. Staring at a compact mirror. The siren calling from another era. While you made faces and then blew kisses, drowned in a pool that hypnotized Narcissus. They say I have a perfect face for radio, and a trumpet for listening, a cheek to turn to you, an eye for glistening. Tear that tear from me. Hold it in your memory. Pull away the powder and the pain-painted dream of this and that disgrace. A silver band of marching souls. A button of brass, an epaulet of gold. That Lenten light. That slight fanfare that consoles. That trivial, sniveling rosary. That ring-a-ding rosemary. Condemned a man, alas. At last, at Requiem Mass. I sound much better than I look, like a hero in a book. Now there is too much at stake, but perhaps you mistook my mistake for the tip in the print you dusted for from the hand you forgot to shake. Tumbledown Dick said to King Oliver, I don't shrink down at the thought of you. Give the people back their ringlet prince, just like you ought to do. Journey far from here like Gulliver, to lands at the edge of everywhere that we have still to discover. Where there's the soul of a jackboot in a broken brace, poised above a human face, forever and ever. Just doesn't matter if I should deceive you or if I should flatter. If your bankroll gets thin while some kitty gets fatter, radio is everything. From the straight to the narrow, to the broadcast from within, radio is everything. Radio is everything.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The Book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
Oh,
Hi, this is John Hall. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 Acre.
A new outdoor summer concert series in the town of Greenville begins on July 6th, and it's listed in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. WGXC volunteer programmer Brad Monkel helped put together the series that runs July 6th through August 17th and includes jazz, bluegrass, and rock bands. The Michael Benedict Quartet starts things off on Tuesday, July 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. They're performing in Veterans Park, which is at the corners of Route 32 and 81 in Greenville. That's the Michael Benedict Quartet, Tuesday, July 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. in Veterans Park in Greenville. You can find out more at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Art Omai in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dawn until dusk. Art Omai Sculpture and Architecture Park presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Now accepting advance registrations for visits on weekends and select holidays. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bob Wills Architecture of Rhinecliff, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC, hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
New York is among the top 10 U.S. states for health among children, and the bottom 10 for families' overall economic well-being. Groups that advocate for kids say recovering from the pandemic will require more help for their families. The new Kids Count data book from the Annie E. Casey Foundation explores how children fared between the Great Recession and COVID-19 crisis and offers recommendations for a stronger and more equitable recovery. Leslie Bossier with the foundation says child well-being trends nationwide worsened as a result of the pandemic.
Many of the trends around health insurance, around housing, around economic security overall were getting worse for families. Families were losing jobs. As a result of losing jobs, families didn't have access to health care. Many, many kids reported that they didn't have enough food to eat on a regular basis.
Rates of New York kids living in poverty improved only slightly before the pandemic, from 21% in 2010 to 18% in 2019. Bossier emphasizes that children who grow up in poverty have worse health outcomes and thinks the expanded child tax credit under the American Rescue Plan should be made permanent. Bossier says extending the child tax credit permanently would deliver the financial support families need and reduce long-standing disparities affecting millions of families of color.
Expected to raise as many as half of children who are currently living below the poverty line to living above the poverty line.
This year's expansion increases the tax credit from $2,000 a year to $3,000 per child age 6 to 17 as early as next month. Kate Tootenbone, director of New York Kids Count, agrees the CTC will help bolster economic well-being. She cites census surveys revealing that even though the economy is recovering, too many New York households still face issues like food insecurity.
Still in early 2021, almost one in five families with children in New York sometimes often did not have enough food to eat based on those survey results.
She adds the state's recovery also includes stabilizing the child care sector, noting that six times more women than men cited caring for kids not in school or daycare as the main reason for not working. I'm Michaela Savitt for New York News Connection.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Vaccine apartheid and the Delta variant.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The term delta in science and mathematics denotes a difference or a gap, as in the delta between two values. In geography, a delta is where a river meets the sea, spreading out, covering the most area in its course. In reference to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Delta is the highly contagious variant of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that's tearing through unvaccinated populations around the globe. First referred to by scientists as B.1.617.2, the Delta variant is more contagious than others and may lead to more serious cases of COVID-19. The best protection against this or other coronavirus variants is to get vaccinated. In wealthy nations like the United States, where over 62% of the eligible population has received at least one vaccine shot, COVID-19 case rates and deaths are the lowest they've been since March 2020 and continue to fall. Conversely, in the world's poorest countries, only between 0.3 to 0.9% of the population has gotten a vaccine shot, and the virus is spreading virtually unchecked. This delta between the rich and poor is a result of vaccine apartheid. While this inequity persists, none of us will be truly safe.
The pandemic has mutated.
That's Achal Prabala, coordinator of Access IBSA, which campaigns for access to medicines in India, Brazil, and South Africa. He was speaking recently on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
What was once a global calamity is now largely a developing country problem.
Prabala was speaking from India, where the Delta variant was first identified. India, with its population of 1.4 billion, is experiencing a devastating COVID-19 surge, with daily deaths as high as 4,000.
Our public health system simply isn't capable of treating people in this country.
Despite the grim news, Achal Prabala has hope. Days earlier, he co-chaired a session at the Summit for Vaccine Internationalism, held about a week after the G7 summit occurred in the UK. Organized by the Progressive International, which was co-founded by the independent Senator Bernie Sanders-affiliated Sanders Institute and former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis, the Emergency Vaccine Summit included the governments of Argentina, Mexico, Bolivia, Cuba, and Venezuela, representatives from the regional governments of Kisumu, Kenya, and Kerala, India, and political leaders, organizers, and others from over 20 countries.
What we're looking for is an alternative to a system that has basically allowed for COVID-19 vaccines to be absolutely concentrated in the higher income countries.
Corina Vance Mafla, the former health minister of Ecuador, who co-chaired with Prabala, explained on Democracy Now!
And we have in front of us practical solutions that could resolve this horrible inequity that we're seeing globally.
Summit participants agreed to pursue a range of solutions to the pandemic, including open collaboration on COVID-19 vaccine technologies, fair solidarity pricing for COVID-19 vaccines, pooling of regulatory and manufacturing capacity to expedite vaccine and medical equipment production, and finally a call to engage in collective disobedience, ignoring patent monopolies imposed by Big Pharma, that's multinational pharmaceutical corporations, and the World Trade Organization. Leaders of the G7 summit pledged to donate 1 billion vaccine doses, but Bloomberg News reported that the true number, excluding doses already promised, was actually closer to 613 million. Compare that to the estimated 9 to 11 billion doses that are needed to fully vaccinate everyone on the planet. Achal Prabala observed that these donated vaccine doses
will only come to these poor countries at the end of this year or at the beginning of next year. Now, keep in mind that on a daily basis last month, on average, we had over 4,000 deaths in India alone, 15,000 deaths a day globally. When you consider numbers like that, you know, a day's delay, a week's delay, a month's delay, a year's delay is almost criminal.
In October 2020, India and South Africa proposed a waiver for COVID-19-related patents under the WTO TRIPS, that's Trade-Related Aspects of Intellectual Property Rights Agreement. And in May, the Biden administration surprised many by endorsing the proposal. The waiver would require unanimous consent of all 164 member nations of the WTO, and activists fear could not be obtained earlier than the organization's full ministerial meeting in early December. The New England Journal of Medicine published a special report on the COVID-19 variants on Wednesday, warning, quote, vaccines are being rolled out slowly, partly because of limitations on production capacity and vaccine nationalism, adding further that vaccine development should be viewed as international enterprises with international coordination by the World Health Organization helping benefits to accrue throughout the world, they said. Overcoming vaccine apartheid can't wait on the WTO's schedule. While immediate vaccine donations from wealthy nations are urgently needed, poorer developing nations and countries like Cuba and Venezuela, suffering under crushing U.S. sanctions, just might need to engage in that collective disobedience called for by the Progressive International. If and when they do, grassroots support from allies in the United States and other privileged vaccinated countries will be essential and life-saving for all. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, a slight chance of showers in the morning, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 81 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 7 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 68 degrees. And on Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 89 degrees. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 69 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
We love Roll Call, y'all. Boogie Down Productions, Rob Bass, Dana Dane, Molly Marr, Olatunji, Chuck D, Ray Charles, EPMD, EU, Alberta Hunter, Run DMC, Stetsasonic, Sugar Bear, John Coltrane, Big Daddy Kane, Salt and Pepper, Luther Vandross, McCoy Tyner, Biz Marquee, New Edition, Otis Redding, Anita Baker, Thelonious Monk, Marcus Miller, Branford Marcellus, James Brown, Wayne Shorter, Tracy Chapman, Miles Davis, Force MDs, Oliver Nelson, Fred Wesley, Maceo, Janet Jackson, Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, George Clinton, Count Basie, M2 May, Stevie Wonder, Bobby McFerrin, Dexter Gordon, Sam Cooke, Parliament Funkadelic, Al Jarreau, Teddy Pendergrass, Joe Williams, Wynton Marsalis, Phyllis Hyman, Sade, Sarah Vaughan, Roland Kirk, Keith Sweat, Cool Moe Dee, Prince, Ella Fitzgerald, Diana Reeves, Aretha Franklin, Bob Marley, Bessie Smith, Whitney Houston, Dionne Warwick, Steel Pulse, Little Richard, Mahalia Jackson, Jackie Wilson, Cannonball and Nat Adderley, Quincy Jones, Marvin Gaye, Charles Mingus, and Mary Lou Williams. We want to thank you all for making our lives just a little brighter here on We Love Radio.
From Perry Teasdale, the publisher of the Columbia paper in Columbia County. He used to be on the other side of the river and was once a video freak, and we heard his story, which included that he helped. So I guess he didn't write the guerrilla broadcasting chapter and steal this book, but he provided the research. And so we're going to, right now, we'll read the guerrilla broadcasting chapter that the Columbia paper, Perry Teasdale, had something to do with. This is page 139 from Abby Hoffman's Steal This Book. And so this is the original text from Guerrilla Broadcasting from Abby Hoffman's Steal This Book, I guess with research done by Perry Teasdale from the Columbia paper.
Thank you.
Under FCC low power transmission regulations, it is legal to broadcast on the AM band without even obtaining a license. If you transmit with 100 milliwatts of power or less on a free band space that doesn't interfere with a licensed station, you are further allowed up to a 12-foot antenna or the use of carrier current transmission, regular electric wall outlets. Using this legal setup, you can broadcast from a 2 to 20 block radius, depending on how high up you can locate your antenna and the density of tall buildings in the area. Carrier current broadcasting consists of plugging the transmitter into a regular wall socket. It draws power in the same way as any other electrical appliance and feeds its signal into the power line, allowing the broadcast to be heard on any AM radio tuned into the operating frequency. The transmitter can be adjusted to different frequencies until a clear band is located. The signal will travel over the electrical wiring until it hits a transformer, where it will be erased. The trouble with this method is that in large cities, almost every large office or apartment building has a transformer. You should experiment with this method first, but if you are in a city, chances are you'll need an antenna rigged up on the roof. Anything over 12 feet is illegal, but practice has shown that the FCC won't hassle you if you don't have commercials and refrain from interfering with licensed broadcasts. There are some cats in Connecticut broadcasting illegally with a 100-foot antenna over a 30-mile radius for hours on end, and nobody gives them any trouble. Naturally, if you insist upon using dirty language, issuing calls to revolution, broadcasting bombing information, interfering with above-ground stations, and becoming too well-known, the FCC is going to try to knock you out. There are penalties that have never been handed out of up to a year in jail. It's possible you could get hit with a conspiracy rap, which could make it a felony. But the opinion of the movement lawyers now is a warning if you're caught once, and a possible fine with stiffer penalties possible for repeaters that are caught. If it gets really heavy, you could still broadcast for up to 15 minutes without being pinpointed by the FCC sleuths. By locating your equipment in a panel truck and broadcasting from a fixed roof antenna, you can make it almost impossible for them to catch you by changing positions. There has been a variety of transmitting equipment used, and the most effective has been found to be an AM transmitter manufactured by low-power broadcasting company 520 Lincoln Highway, Fraser, Pennsylvania, called Dick Crompton. The right transmitter will run about $200. If you plan to use carrier current transmission, you also need a capacitor that sells for $30. An antenna can be made out of an aluminum tubing and antenna wiring available at any TV radio supply store. See, you'll also need a good microphone that you can get for about $10. Naturally, equipment for heavier broadcasting is available if a member of your group has a license or good connections with someone who works in a large electronics supply house. Also, with a good knowledge in the area, you can build a transmitter for a fraction of the purchase price. You can always employ tape recorders, turntables, and other broadcasting hardware depending on how much bread you have, how much stuff you have to hide, how legal your operation is, and the type of broadcasting you want to do. It is possible to extend your range by sending a signal over the telephone lines to other transmitters, which will immediately rebroadcast. Several areas in a city could be linked together, and even from one city to another. Theoretically, if enough people rig up transmitters and antennas at proper locations, and everyone operates on the same band, it is possible to build a nationwide people's network that is equally theoretically legal. Broadcasting, it should be remembered, is a one-way transmission of information. Communications which allow you to transmit and receive are illegal without a license. That's ham radio. There are a number of outlaw radio projects going on around the country. Less frequent, but just as feasible, is a people's television network. Presently, there are three basic types of TV systems. Broadcast, which is the sending of signals directly from the station's transmitter to home receiver sets. Cable, where the cable company employs extremely sensitive antenna to pick up broadcast transmissions and relay them and or they originate and send them. And thirdly, closed-circuit TV, such as the surveillance cameras in the supermarkets, banks, and apartment house lobbies. The third system, as used by the pigs, is of little concern unless we are interested in not being photographed. The cameras can be temporarily knocked out of commission by flashing a bright light bulb, flash bulb, cigarette lighter, directly in front of its lens. For our own purposes, closed-circuit TV can be employed for broadcasting rallies, rock concerts, or teach-ins to other locations. The equipment is not that expensive to rent and easy to operate. Just contact the largest television or electronics store in your area and ask about it. There are also closed-circuit and cable systems that work in harmony to broadcast special shows to campuses and other institutions. Many new systems are being developed and will be in operation soon. Cable systems, as such, are in use only in a relatively few areas. They can be tapped either at the source or at any point along the cable by an engineer freak who knows what to do. The source is the best spot, since all the amplification and distribution equipment of the system is available at that point. Tapping along the cable itself can be a lot hairier, but more frustrating for the company when they try to trace you down. Standard broadcasting that is received on almost all living room sets works on an RF radio frequency signal sent out on various frequencies which correspond to the channels on the tuner. In no area of the country are all these channels used. This raises important political questions as to why people do not have the right to broadcast on unused channels. By getting hold of a TV camera, Sony and Panasonic are the best for the price, that has an RF output, you can send pictures to a TV simply by placing the camera cable on or near the antenna of the receiver set. When the set is operating on the same channel as the camera, it will show what the camera sees. Used videotape recorders such as the Sony CV series that record and play back audio and video information are becoming more available. These too can be easily adapted to send RF signals the same as a live camera. Whether or not the program to be broadcasted is live or on tape, there are three steps to be taken in order to establish a people's TV network. First, you must convert the video and audio signals to an RF frequency modulated FM signal corresponding to the desired broadcast channel. We suggest for political and technical reasons that you pick one of the unused channels in your area to begin experimenting. The commercial stations have an extremely powerful signal and can usually override your small output. Given time and experience, you might want to go into the direct competition with the big boys on their own channel. It is entirely possible, say, in a 10 to 20 block radius, to interrupt a presidential press conference with more important news. Electronic companies such as Gerald Electronics in Philadelphia make equipment that can RF both video and audio information onto specific channels. The device you'd be interested in is called a cable driver or RF modulator. When the signal is in the RF state, it is already possible to broadcast very short distances. The second step is to amplify the signal so it will reach as far as possible. A linear amplifier of the proper frequency is required for this job. The stronger the amplifier, the farther and more powerful the signal. A 10-watt job will cover approximately 5 miles line of sight in area. Linear amplifiers are not that easily available, but they can be constructed with some electrical engineering knowledge. The third step is the antenna, which, if the whole system is to be mobile to avoid detection, is going to involve some experimentation and possible camouflage. Two things to keep in mind about an antenna are that it should be what is technically referred to as a dipole antenna, and since TV signals travel on line of sight, it is important to place the antenna as high as possible. Although it hasn't been done in practice, it certainly is possible to reflect pirate signals off an existing antenna of a commercial network. This requires a full knowledge of broadcasting. However, any amateur can rig up an antenna, attach it to a helium balloon, and get it plenty high. For most, the roof of a tall building will suffice. If you're really uptight about your operation, the antenna can be hidden with a fake cardboard chimney. We realize becoming TV gorillas is not everyone's trip, but a small band with a few grand can indeed pull it off. There are a lot of technical freaks hanging around recording studios, guitar shops, hi-fi stores, and engineering schools that can be turned on to the project. By showing them the guidelines laid out here, it can help you assemble and build various components that are difficult to purchase, i.e. the linear amplifier. Naturally, by building some of the components, the cost of the operation is kept way down. Equipment can be purchased in selective electronics stores. You'll need a camera, VTR, RF modulator, linear amplifier, and antenna. Also, a generator, voltage regulator, and an alternator if you want the station to be mobile. One of the best sources of information on both television and radio broadcasting is the Radio Amateur's Handbook, published by the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut. The handbook gives a complete course in electronics and the latest information on all techniques and equipment related to broadcasting. Back issues have easy-to-read do-it-yourself TV transmitter diagrams and instructions. Also available is a publication called Radical Software, put out by Rain Dance Corp., 24 East 22nd Street in New York, with the latest info on all types of alternative communications. Gorilla TV is the vanguard of the communications revolution, rather than the avant-garde cellophane light shows and the weekend conferences. One pirate picture on the sets of in America's living rooms is worth a thousand wasted words. With the fundamentals in this field mastered, you can rig up all sorts of stuff. Cheap $20 tape recorders can be purchased and outfitted with a series of small loudspeakers. Concealed in a school auditorium or other large hall, such a system can blast out any message or music you wish to play. The administration will go insane trying to locate the operation if it is well hidden. We know two cats who rigged a church with this type of setup and a timing device. Right in the middle of the sermon, on came Radio Heaven and said stuff like, "Come on, preacher, this is God, you don't believe all that stuff now, do you?" It made for an exciting Sunday service, all right. You can build a miniature transmitter and with a small magnet attach it to the underbelly of a police car to keep track of where it's going. This would only be practical in a small town or on a campus where there are only a few security guards or patrol vehicles. If you rigged a small tape recorder to the transmitter and tuned it to a popular AM band, the patrol car as it rode around could actually broadcast the gorilla message you pre-recorded. Wouldn't they be surprised when they found out how you did it? You can get a bumper beeper and receiver that are constructed by professionals for use by private detectives. The dual unit costs $400. You can talk to John Bomer in Phoenix, Arizona about that. Even though there are laws governing this area of sneaky surveillance, telephone taps, tracking devices, and the like, a number of enterprising firms produce an unbelievable array of electronic hardware that allows you to match Big Brother's ears and eyes. Sugar cube transmitters, tie clasp microphones, phone taps, tape recorders that work in a hollowed-out book, and other brave new world equipment is available from R.B. Clifton in Miami, Florida, the Electrolab Corporation in Statesboro, Georgia, or Tracer Investigative Products from Palm Beach, Florida. And by the way, you can pick up Radio Hanoi on shortwave radio every day from 3 to 3:30 p.m. at 15013 kilocycles on the 19-meter band. That's the Gorilla Broadcasting chapter from Abby Hoffman's Steal This Book, a reading with research from Perry Teasdale, now the publisher of the Columbia paper in Columbia County, and then a member of the Video Freaks Collective that started a pirate television station and got the transmitter from the Teasdale's contribution to Steal This Book, the Abby Hoffman classic.
Now there's something coming through here that softly reminds me. Tonight I'll park out on the hill and wait until they